Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Ghost.
The ghost hunt. Oh, we've got some ghouls and some ghosts.
Honestly, my vocal cords are not working.
You've had three off the tee. You've had two provisional. No, this is five off the tee.
This is five off the
tee. You went out of bounds massively right. I can't speak that way. Now you've caught off you. You went out of bounds right off the first tee.
Yeah, and then you went it left.
Overcompensated. Then you thinned one down the middle. It's in play, but it's not very good.
So welcome to the show, episode 160. You'd think after 160 episodes I'd get the name of the show correct.
Yes,
but no, I failed. Anyway, I'm Rick.
Hi Rick.
This is Guy.
Yeah, I'm Guy. Officially I'm on a half day today.
Oh, yeah?
And I have got, as we're recording this, it's 11:57 a.m. I technically finished work at 12:30 today.
I've got it's 11:53.
Did I say seven? Yeah, I've got that wrong as well. I've definitely caught your tongue. So I've got 37 minutes left of work. So if this podcast is longer than 37 minutes, that just shows my dedication to you, the Rick Shields Media brand, and the podcast listeners in the clubhouse.
So there you go.
I don't want a round of applause, but if you want to give it my driving, feel free.
So I'm going to stretch this out. We're gonna chill out today.
Well, yeah, you've done something I'm excited about, actually. You've planned something for this that I don't know.
Yeah, so as we're getting towards the back end of the year, 2022 has been an exciting year. And 10 years now doing YouTube, it's been a hell of a journey. But this last 12 months, I really look back and I've reflected this morning on a few moments in time from this year that I look back and go, wow. Like, that was pretty amazing. So in this podcast, I'm going to go through my top five highlights from 2022.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that. I've got no idea what I can... Are these kind of YouTube-related, personal... Or golf, or a bit of everything.
None of it is actual personal at home stuff. All of it is. I don't want to share that stuff on the podcast. All of it is work related.
Okay.
So whether it's videos I filmed, you know, golfers I filmed with, venues I filmed at, certain different challenges, highlights, and I think it'll make sense as we go through the top five towards the end. But right now, we're filming this podcast a little bit earlier because I am currently now, right now, in America.
But you're here now.
I know.
How's this work?
Who knows? But I am having a week over in America, in Orlando. We're going to do some filming over there. Unfortunately, Guy, you can't make it because of family commitments. But it's going to be an exciting week and a hell of a week.
It is. We've got some, again, I'm not going to be there, but I know what's going on. And some of the things that should be happening are very exciting for the channel. And they will be in next year's top five things because they'll be recorded this year, but the content will go out in 2023. So that can fall into next year's category.
I think so.
If what you have got planned all happens, which it should do, some of those videos will definitely be 100% in next year's top five. Well, or will they not? That's the exciting thing, because these videos are so exciting, but next year's could even be better. But some golf courses, some players, some new equipment, there's lots going on, and I'm very, very excited.
And I'll be honest, slightly apprehensive and a bit nervous, and maybe that's why I've had this stumble at the start of this podcast. I feel like there's lots going on in my brain at the moment. I've not been on a plane for nearly 3 years. The last time I was on a plane was 2020 in Dubai when I filmed with Tommy Fleetwood. And I'll be honest with you, I feel a bit flustered. I feel a bit like, what do I do? Like, how do I travel again? I'm really excited about flying again. I've never been a nervous flyer, touch wood, but it's like, feels like a new experience again for me, you know? So I'm really intrigued about that. Getting a bit of sunshine in December. Like I said, we're flying into Orlando, staying in Jupiter for a few days, then ending up in Tampa next weekend. And fingers crossed, if everything goes to plan, we have some absolute banger videos with some banger guests. And potentially some inserted clips for the podcast as well over the next few weeks.
Yes.
So lots going on, exciting times. We'd have also seen on the channel last week, we started properly again. Almost feels like a refresh button on the Break 75s.
We did. We mentioned about Silith. Now, a bit of a spoiler alert, if you've not watched Break 75 yet, we will give some of it away, so maybe skip 5 minutes. But Break 75 at Silith, there was Rick Shields, there was Guy Charnock, there was assistant pro Tom. What a amazing golf course that somewhat feels like a hidden gem to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But brutal.
Yeah. We caught it on a day that was typical UK winter weather. Yeah. Like it was a bit murky. It wasn't particularly very nice. There was no sunshine. Like all day, zero sunshine. Yeah. It was cold, it was windy. But a hell of a layout. The golf was interesting.
So what did you was it 9 or 10 over?
10. 10 over. But it was a weird one because I actually felt like, and Tom said it on start of the video, the wind normally is into wind on the way out, downwind on the way home.
Yeah.
He said, however, today is different. It's downwind on the way out and into wind on the way home, which is, he said, it's the much harder way.
That's what
of
he said.
It is. And that kind of reflected a little bit on the video. I played okay front nine, nothing brilliant. But then the back nine playing those last kind of 7 or 8 holes back into wind was real brutal.
The front nine, yeah, it was easier. However, I think that round was very much a typical Rick Shields Break 75 round because, let me come on to it, it started off not too bad at all, quite solid, a couple of bogeys here and there, not ideal. But I feel like, and this is the difficult thing with Break 75 on a par 72 course as well, when you get to like 2 or 3 over, which in those conditions after like 9 holes isn't a bad score. Is that what you were after about two over?
I was 2 over.
But you're already thinking, you suddenly start saying on camera and off camera, right, I need a few birdies now. And your mindset is, which I understand, if I get a few birdies, get back to level par, I'm in this kind of safe zone and Break 75 should be tick, big green tick, done. However, chasing those birdies cause you to sometimes end up making a bogey.
Hitting driver off the deck.
Yeah, and there was a shot, I watched it back before the edit, where you said, right, I'm going to try a shot now I've never tried before. And you hit like a 3/4 50-degree wedge, like a soft floaty one that you then fatted. And I know, we've not seen the video go live yet, because we're recording this early, but I guarantee there'll be comments about that. And it's kind of like that mindset of, which I know, I know what breaks it and halves are coming and things go a lot better. I think it's just that, isn't it, as well? That combined with the fact the golf course got much harder back nine, it's very easy to tell that 2 over becomes a 10 over. It's not that you need to massively improve by 8 shots. It's just little small things.
And you know what? Part of me as well wonders whether even just that really flippant comment on the first tee affected my psyche going into the back nine. Like Tom said, normally it's hard on the front nine. Today it's going to be easier. And today it's gonna be really hard in the back nine.
Yeah,
and I think again because I'd maybe if I was 2 on the front nine, I think, oh, I've got a nice cushion here. Mm. This is what I should be doing.
You were thinking needed, yeah.
I feel like I had to be level par because it was inevitable I was gonna drop shots on the back nine. So it's almost even the wording and it's very interesting, and it certainly wasn't Tom's fault, but you can pick up little comments from people when you play with them, can't you?
Yeah.
And that can actually influence the way you play your golf.
100%. And this is almost counterintuitive, but the best way of playing a golf course sometimes can be blind, because although you don't get that local knowledge, if you hit one on, like, say there's a hole, for example, there's a marker post to aim at, and you hit it roughly on that, and you get to your ball, and you go, oh my word, I did not realise that all left was out of bounds. But when someone tells you on the first tee, they go, don't go left. That's giving you advice in a friendly way, but all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my God, this is a scary tee shot. But my favourite part of the whole video, and I think now it makes me laugh. What hole was it? Quite early on, about 4 or 5, you hit that hybrid and you blocked it. And you went, this hybrid is leaving my golf bag. The very next shot, you're in this horrendous thick rough where you should just chip it out. And you pull out this hybrid and then have to hit provisional.
But I think again, that possibly showed the fact that I felt like I had to make a score for 9. And I had, you know, I almost chipping out and playing for bogey on that hole, almost I wasn't allowed to do that because I felt like the front nine, even though that actual hole, the fourth, was into wind.
Yes.
So anyway, great golf course. I think the game is trending.
Well, that's what we're going to come on to. Without giving this away, I want you to, out of 10, rate your performance at Silloth, out of 10 on that video.
6.
Okay. Now we know, and the audience, that Crail is coming next, and then Ely. We don't want to give away scores. What would you say your performance scores are more like in these two, or hints?
Closer to 10. Closer to 10. Still not 10s. Crail, I would say my mindset was the closest to 10 it's been for a while.
Yes.
And I'd say my game was getting closer to 10. So that's good. And then Ely, I felt like my game was closer to 10. My mindset wasn't as close to 10. So there will be a day where I blend everything, and I think I could potentially really, really shoot the lights out. But it's going in the right direction, which I'm really pleased about. I feel like the little bit of work I did over the last few weeks has definitely helped me and my mindset, and just put me in a much nicer position in my golfing life. And then next year, just a bit of breaking news, season 3 of Break 75 will be bigger, better, more, what's the right word, almost more adventurous, I'm okay. going to say, is a little sneak
sell me
peek.
The sizzle. Okay, I'm right. Let's play that now. You're Rick Shields, okay? That's who you are.
I'm Rick. Okay, let me. Okay, get me.
And
I've got my beard. I've got my hat on. Yeah, I'm Rick Shields.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Rick. and I'm Johnny Public. Okay.
J Dog.
Yeah. And I see you at the range, Trafford Golf Centre.
Yeah.
I go, hiya, Rick. You're Rick. Hi, Rick. Rick. Oh yeah, he is horrible in real life. And you have heard this.
No, it's not me. I'm sorry. No, I think you've got someone else.
Oh, sorry, it's Peter Finch.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
No, how would you... So someone says, right, I love Break 75, I dip in and out most weeks. I've heard you've got a season 3 coming.
Yes, J-Dog. I have got a season 3 coming, and I think you're going to really enjoy it because, first off, there's going to be more episodes than we've ever done before.
Ooh.
Okay?
Okay.
Not always weekly.
Right.
But we are going to do a full season long series of Break 75s, but they're almost going to be broken down into mini series throughout the year. Okay. And there's going to be golf courses you've never seen before. There's going to be golf courses I've never seen before. There's going to be Guy.
Yeah. Or that little ferret man.
There's going to be new guests. There's going to be different situations. But it's going to be filmed better. I'm going to play better.
Sorry.
I've just seen you shanking it, Rick, on the range. It's going to be bigger, better, and again, I would say more adventurous than what we've done so far. We've had two seasons. First season started off very kind of quick and fast-paced, and it was all about kind of like almost cramming a full 18-hole video into a 15-minute production, which was exciting, and it was something new that we'd never done before, and the audience had potentially never seen before. And the feedback was we could do with making them a bit longer. Then we stretched out to 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Last season, some episodes got to an hour. I think that's kind of under an hour is a sweet spot.
Yeah,
and I think that's where hopefully you guys, Martin Jones, yes, from last week, that's what he wants.
An email, by the way, that some guys. Father-in-law is called Martin Jones and watches Break 75 every week.
Love it, with his cans of Stella.
Yeah, but not like Stella, but yeah.
So I think that's where the direction of Break 75s are going. And I am going to commit to bloody practicing harder and enjoying it more, I think. I think that's the big thing that I've not done this year as much. When I've played crap, I've not enjoyed it. But I need to get over that. And if I play better 97% of the time, I'll enjoy it. 100% of the time.
Well, thanks, Rick. It was great to meet you. I do love the channel, but my favourite's Golf Mates and Tubes and Ange. They're my favourite channels.
I get that. Yeah. I get that.
You're always my second or third. Sometimes. No, exciting. I'm very much looking forward to it myself. Quick one before we get onto your... Well, not a quick one, but a medium one. Before we get onto your top five moments of the year. We had an email, and we get lots of emails, as you know, and please do email us if you've got a question, a thought, an opinion, a fact, a anything else you could have, no? Advice for Rick to break 75, yeah, advice for me.
A complaint.
This is a borderline one, but anyway, if you do want to email us, podcast@rickshields.com. We read them all, don't reply to them all, and obviously we can't read them out on the podcast, but we love getting them. And this one is from a lady, and I don't want to read a name out just because... she may want to be staying anonymous, I'm not sure. But it was something that
That camera might be picking up on your screen.
Oh, sorry. Is it Harry?
A touch, yeah.
Okay, I'll move it then. So Pamela Anderson, you can't see her name. but yeah, it was something that I was going to actually reply back to and take the time to. Actually, no, I'll read it on the podcast and I'll kind of address it because it was something that did... Yeah, anyway. So it says, "Hi, Rick and Guy. I tune in every week." And again, it's from a female. "I watch the podcast, enjoy the content, I find it entertaining and amusing, and will keep listening, but..." And there was a "but" with three full stops. But. "Bit of gentle and well-intended feedback. Your focus is incredibly male-centric, and it has an emoji with like a bit of a tear." That hit home. That hurt. "Apart from the odd bit of content with the fabulous Sophie Walk or Iona, brackets, looking forward to the coming video with her, which will be out this week on Friday, Break 75. The golf chat is virtually all about the male game. The only time a woman has featured in one of your imaginary golfer stories was when Barbara was at home to the returning hole-in-one hero, and she was probably in the kitchen. It doesn't mean I'll tune out, but I do feel I'm listening to an all-boys club. I've come to golf fairly late. It was something my husband wanted to learn together. I had a preconceived view that it excluded women, with the archaic rules, not being able to go into the clubhouse through the front door or denied membership, and that membership was older, white males. There's a bit of that still knocking about, but it's all moving forward, and you're part of that. Look at you, Mr. Shields, the top 30 of the most 100 influential golfers." Actually, top 25, but that's fine. "I'm surprised to find myself absolutely loving golf. It's fabulous. I'm not very good, but I've got the bug, big time. This is in spite of the fact I'm quite often the only woman at the driving range or on the golf course. If there's a serious intent behind including women and making it more welcoming and inclusive to wider sections of society, I think you could be a big part of that. I'm not moaning, I'm just sharing the experience of one of your subscribers. I wonder what percent of male and female your subscribers are." We can tell you that in a minute, Mrs. Mysterious. "I'll keep tuning in. You amuse me. I'm interested in hearing, what you have to say. P.S. I'm only down the road in Lancashire. I love that your global audience is shining a torch on the Northwest."
Very nice.
So,
I suppose, I mean, that's a nice email.
Yes.
And it's absolutely fantastic that we are attracting such a wide range of audiences. Mm. And I'm not even just talking male, female. You know, there's a lot of young audiences out there, much older audiences out there, you know, different people from different backgrounds and countries. Some fans who have got into golf really recently, it's brand new to them. Some fans have been playing golf all their lives. So that the width and depth of the audience, luckily for us, is huge, certainly in the golfing world. I think to counter that a little bit is that I actually think we do feature quite a few female guests. We've had quite a few on the channel. And we do also touch on quite a lot of kind of important topics in the golfing world. I'm sorry that she doesn't feel like we touch on enough, but I know our audience is very male-centric. Have you got the number there? Is it like 90?
Well, so that's it. So the main channel, the Rick Shields Golf main kind of channel, is 97% male. So that just shows you. And then the actual podcast channel, which obviously you're listening or watching on now, is 98.1% male. So... I suppose there's two ways of looking at that. We'd definitely love to attract more women to the channel and, you know, definitely encourage more women to play golf. That's something that we have had emails about before, you know, from certain dear Ricks where people have said, you know, "I'd love to get my partner, my wife, my girlfriend into golf. How can I do that?" And you've given some great advice. And obviously you're a family man with two young daughters who you've given great advice on how to get them into golf, get them, you know, keen into golf. And, you know, I haven't got children yet. I have actually got a daughter on the way. And, I've got two young nieces who have taken the driving range. I've been to the driving range with my wife, with my mother. And, you know, we're definitely pro women in golf. I think, just a note on that as well, we've been really lucky actually to have some great women on the podcast to tell their story and different stories as well. So we've had, obviously, Carly Booth, Annika Sorenstam from that real kind of...
I mean,
Annika Sorenstam, you don't get any bigger than that in the world of women in golf.
It's
telling
huge.
Her story of her golf. We've had, you know, Sophie Walker, Incy Mehmet have told their story of professional golf, then into the media, and how they've been success. And then we've had kind of had, you know, more kind of influencer style. So we've had Mia Baker on the podcast, who told her story of how she found it hard to get into golf as a woman, and the clothing wasn't right, and how she got in touch with big corporations to try and fix that. And she's done a great job of that. And we've even had women on the podcast who've got very kind of successful roles in the world of golf. So we've had Gemma Hunter from England Golf, who, regardless of gender or anything, is the most clued up person in the world of golf and handicaps you'll ever meet. Quite literally, it's her job. She knows more about handicaps than anybody, certainly in the UK. So we've definitely tried to give women a voice in this platform.
Of course,
and
we'd never shy away from female guests. We've always been trying to reach out to, you know, that list is phenomenal. Like, well, we've
and
had
that's
some
just
great
the
guests.
Podcast. Yeah. You know, we look at your main channel. You've had obviously Hannah Davis on, who's a local golf coach. She's featured in. You know, I'm going to be quite crude in saying this, but these people understand that when they come on your channel, their follower base grows, which is partly what's in it for them and why we want to provide them with that, and you do. And that then, in turn, she's a golf coach. I'm sure seeing her get more lessons, it's helped her get some level of sponsorship. And we know that, and that's great. You've also had Anne Van Dam, Olivia Cowan, Annabelle Dimmock, Iona Stephen. The list goes on, basically. But I think just on the note of why the podcast may feel quite male-centric at times is the fact, well, you know, we are both male. We can only speak on, really, on our stories and our life in golf. And kind of, unfortunately, I suppose, we have a very, 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 very high male audience. If we were to start doing a section every week on, you know, the best ladies clubs in the market or, you know, things like that, that would service a certain percentage of our audience, but obviously only a small percentage. So what I would like to do is certainly address, you know, we'll continue to have amazing females on the podcast. That's something that we will definitely do. You know, again, Sophie Walker into our live show, and she was phenomenal. She was probably the best on stage,
She was so good.
But there also are many, you know, if this person listening isn't aware of this, there's a lot of female creators out there as well who should go and check out. I know there's a girl, is it Hannah Holden, who does a lot of work for National Club Golf. Yep. She's very good. She does a lot of the reviews. Again, Sophie Walker does a lot. Mia Baker, Rach McQueen.
I'd say Mia Baker does these nights as well. Have you seen these in London?
Yeah, jazzy golfer as well.
At Pitch, and she'll open it up to kind of non-golfers, really. And when I've seen it on Instagram, it's absolutely buzzing. The nights look amazing. And to be honest, a bit probably opposite to us, it looks like there's 98% women there.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely phenomenal. So there's so many opportunities to meet, you know, females in golf, you know, and I understand it because I've actually got quite a deep connection to this, because it was my mum that got me into the game of golf. Like, it was literally my mum going to a driving range, getting lessons, dragging me along, joining us a golf club. She was a lady captain really quickly, and she met loads and loads of friends through golf, and that set me on my pathway. Like, it was, and even then, what we're talking, 25 years ago, there was no real barriers. That was quite an easy thing. And I'm not saying that's perfect everywhere, but as a woman and a junior going into a golf club, there was certainly no restrictions from what I gather. And when I speak to my mum, there was no real restrictions with that.
Yeah, and that's something that I just wanted to address, because I don't want to come across as too defensive on this. I'm more than happy for people not to like me personally, and some people don't like you. And that's just life. You can't please everybody. But one thing I don't want this podcast to ever be seen as is, you know, not inclusive. You know, the joke about the clubhouse, hashtag the clubhouse, to enter that. You've got a link to all the podcasts. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, what your background is, your beliefs, your heritage, anything like that. So that's something that we just wanted to pick up on.
Yeah, very good. And looking forward to having lots more guests on next year. And as always, a real wide mixture of guests. Right, my top five moments. Now, each year, at the start of new year, it's kind of that time where you look at the up and coming year, think, I wonder what's going to come this year. Like, we've been very, very fortunate in the position that I get to be in, that I've had some unbelievable opportunities. Every year surprises me with opportunities that you think, wow, that's really cool. I can't believe I'm doing that now, or I can't believe that's happened. And when I look back at 2022, and again, I don't want this to feel like too much of a wrap up, but obviously we're getting towards the winter months, is that I look back and go, what the hell? This year has probably been, even again, elevated the highlights that I've got in this list here. I want to read out a couple that actually didn't make it on the list. Weirdly enough. Okay, first off,
this is the long list.
Yeah, this is the just outside the top five list, because we've even done things like, for example, We hit 2 million subscribers this year on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No.
How mad is that? That was in January 2022. And the first ever channel to hit it. We doubled 1 million, which is obviously only recently just been done by Good hitting 1 million subscribers. To have that level of audience, and it's super appreciated, and hopefully that comes across on videos and what we do with the podcast. But things like that are amazing. And the other thing, we've actually had chance this year to meet a lot more fans, I feel. Certainly through the years of COVID, through 2020 and 2021, that was hard. But this year it's been great to arrange range nights. Like, how good have they been?
Unbelievable.
We want to do more. We want to be able to meet fans in even a bigger scale. Because, like, 100-odd, it's great as a range night. But, obviously, the numbers are in the millions now.
Yeah.
I don't know how we do that just yet, because, obviously, there's safety reasons and things like that, because that's why we've not been able to get more at a driving range. And I still want to be able to offer my time to everybody that comes to a driving range night, a range night. But that's been really incredible.
You know what I've loved about the range nights? Like you said, there's going to be definitely more coming. And maybe they won't all be filmed, because the benefit of filming them is they make great content. And I think it shows people having a great time. But the only downside to filming them is sometimes we've got two minds, haven't we? We're kind of thinking about the night and people having a great time. And we're also thinking about the production of the video. So it will be a mixture of those. But I think there's twofold, really. I think when we have the range nights, it's great seeing you interact with people that love the videos and that obviously want to speak to you, maybe get a picture and whatever it might be. Some heckle you sometimes, which I think is funny. There's good banter. But arguably,
normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even bigger than that, I love how people almost form friendships on the night.
Yeah.
So with range night, we normally have 5, 6, 7 people in one bay. If you've come with you and your mate, then you're going to have to get chucked in a bay, loosely we use that term, lashed into a bay with 5 random people. By the end of the night, you see people swapping numbers and Instagrams and going organising a game of golf together. And that's really powerful. And it's like, you know, that's what the videos and the YouTube kind of community, if you like, can do. It can bring people together. And golf is a unique sport and a great sport in that you can go and play on your own, clear your head and just play against the golf course, play against yourself. But nothing beats going playing golf with 2 or 3 mates and having a laugh. And that's what these range nights go on to do.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, ready?
Yes, number five.
The official list. Number 5.
Yep.
Okay. Playing with legends.
Oh, so this is a broad, this is not true.
Well, okay. It is, but I couldn't separate it. It's a better joint fifth.
Okay, joint fifth.
We got to spend time with two, like, categorically legends of the game, like top 10 most famous golfers ever.
Yeah.
Okay. One of them being Sir Nick Faldo. Like, if you'd have said to me at the start of this year that we would have been going out on the golf course at Cruden Bay up in Aberdeen, which was a horrendous day, like the weather was atrocious, to go out and film with Sir Nick Faldo. Then to sit down and do such an incredible in-depth podcast with him.
Yeah.
It's right up there with my favourite this year podcast. Yeah. because I just wanted to continue to ask him questions about his life. He's won 6 major championships. He's won the Masters, the Open. Like, he's the most decorated English golfer ever. And to spend time with him, to film with him, something that I wasn't sure how the audience would react to it, because it's so like different to the audience I feel like we speak to on YouTube. The audience really reacted well to it. So that for me was a real highlight. And actually, over in the States where I am now, I'm actually going to be meeting up with him again, which is going to be really exciting for some stuff that he wants to do for his channels. So that was really cool. But the other one, and this is why it kind of comes into joint fifth, Tom Watson.
Tom Watson.
I mean, what? Like, son? I want to be his son. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Getting to spend time with Tom Watson is unique enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting to spend 5 minutes in his company would possibly make this list. Okay. Mm-hmm. You then sprinkle on, it was at St. Andrews,
the home of golf.
You then sprinkle on, it's the fact you're playing the old course in reverse, alternate shots with Tom Watson.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's like, how the hell? I think out of all the things I've done this year, probably that's the moment where I stood there and really pinched myself and gone, what the hell? How has this happened? Like making videos at Trafford Centre, hitting a few balls, trying to give some advice about coaching. I'm now playing the old course in reverse with Tom Watson. I mean, this is number 5, by the way.
Wowzers.
So things are going to continue to get better from there. But that that for me was really, really just epic. And the week of the Open, I got to bump into him again and interview him and met his wife, his
new wife.
And like, we had a great interaction there. He really remembered spending time with us filming a month or so earlier. He was just a lovely, lovely guy. So that in at number 5 is spending time with legends. And I'm looking forward to doing more of that.
Mm.
There's probably not, obviously, there's more legends on the list, but like, imagine being able to spend next year spending some time with Jack Nicklaus, for
example. Imagine having Thanksgiving with Tiger Woods. You, Tiger, and Charlie having Thanksgiving.
And Nicklaus around the table.
Yeah, having turkey.
So I think anything like that is just amazing, okay? In at number 4.
In at number 4.
Is something that I didn't think I could achieve. And there was lots of time to reflect as I was doing it. My charity walk across Scotland. Walk 150. Now, the idea, the concept of it, to start from Prestwick, the home of the first ever Open venue, to walk 150 miles across Scotland, carrying my golf clubs all the way to St. Andrews to raise money for Prostate Cancer UK. 6 days, 6 marathons a day. It was just, the idea itself was just mental. To have achieved it and to have raised as much money as we did, we managed to raise nearly 130,000 or just over £130,000, which is going to be incredible. That money is going to go a long way in the world of, you know, research and development and awareness. But being able to just, I look at my camera roll. When I was looking through this list, I was going through back on my camera roll, and we actually never made a video about Walk 150. We might do in the future. We did actually film most of it. It might be kind of a Netflix documentary style video that we do at one point. But I really look back at it with really fond memories. Mm. Like, it was hard, it was tough, and it was challenging, but it was so rewarding at the same time.
I think on that, you know, kudos to you. You obviously, I was only there for the first little section of it, and I can't comprehend how difficult that was on your feet and your joints and mentally as well. So, you know, you've got huge admiration for that. But also, and, you know, arguably as important, if not more important, those people actually put the hand in the pocket to add into the bucket, so to speak, because, you know, there was some, I looked through the Just Giving page, and there was some incredible donations of like hundreds of pounds by some people who you think must obviously have a few quid. But something as well, it's almost, sounds strange, but almost more kind of heartwarming, is the people that donate like 2 quid or 5 quid. It's like, you know, not everybody, obviously in the current economic state as well, can afford to give money to charity. And the fact that you encourage them to do so by doing such an incredible feat, but the fact that people did that, you know, it just shows, again, on this, I think there's going to be a link with all these different things we say, this community element of people coming together and doing something for the greater good. And it's really, really special and powerful. So thank you so much to everyone that donated. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was. So again, next year, 2023, I've got something crazy planned.
Walk 1 million, 1 billion miles.
Walk to the moon. I've got something planned for next summer, so stay tuned for that. There'll be another charity. I want to try and do something big for charity each year because, one, it's as I say, raising money for charity. It's the community side of it, and it's challenging and pushing me, and I really look forward to it. So that was really cool this year. Number three. Okay.
Three. Top three.
Oh, yeah, top three.
In bronze position.
Oh, I've got the... No, I'm going to stick with it. In number three was filming with...
Guy Janik.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott. Wow. So Adam Scott, he's not only strolled past Nick Faldo and Tommy Watson, he's actually just shoved him and gone, yeah, get back.
I think mainly because we grew up in his era. You know, Tom Watson and Nick Faldo, I can obviously look at them and go, wow, you know, legends of the game. But I started golf at the very tail end of Nick Faldo's career.
Yeah.
Where when I started playing golf, Adam Scott was really starting to kind of, you know, second to only Tiger, really, in a lot of things.
Yes.
And to spend time with him, and again, he was so kind on the podcast, and we went out and played at King's Barnes in a 10-shot challenge. He was everything I wanted him to be and more.
He was. He was very humble and very... What always surprised me, and hopefully it's the environment we create, but these guys know they're coming for a day of filming, an afternoon of filming, an hour of film, whatever it might be. It's how much they actually get into it. And I think certainly, no matter how good you are at golf, this has been proven by Adam Scott and a couple of other guys that you've played with, Tommy and Westwood, etc. If you get a golfer who's competitive, which all these guys are, against another golfer who's competitive and puts them on the line, whether it should be for pride, they want to win. They want to beat you. And Adam Scott wanted to beat you, but in the most humble and pleasant way possible.
Yeah, it was really good. It was the fact, like I say, he was so lovely with his time. A couple of weeks after, we saw him at the Open and he jumped out of his chair and came running over and chatted to us. And he was just... I'm so glad, and I've been very lucky. Everybody that I've managed to meet or film with have been how I expect them to be. But I think I almost put more of an emphasis on him.
Yeah,
I was like, please don't shatter my dreams. Please be just as nice as I hope you are going to be. And he was actually nicer, wasn't he?
You know what's mad? That's partly what I would love to meet Tiger, because obviously I would. There's a part of me that'd be worried.
Yeah.
I like him so much, and I've looked up to him for however 25, 26 years, whatever it's been. If he wasn't that nice, I'd just be heartbroken.
Yeah.
So Tiger, when we meet, be nice, mate.
Please, please, be nice.
So that was number three. That was nice. I mean, in some ways, I imagine Faldo's annoyed. He sat there with three. He's got three green jackets. He's looking at wee Adam Scott over there with one. Gone thinking, one green jacket, you get out of this position. He's there with three and a few claret jugs in his back pocket.
But so Nick, maybe next year.
Has he got three or four, Nick Faldo, green jackets? Three. And then he's got two clarets or three. He's got six majors, 006 is his little thing.
I thought he had three opens and three majors.
Three and three then. Yeah. So, wow, and he still only gets in number five. And Watson.
Hasn't Watson won the third
Watson's
most?
Won more majors than you've had hot dinners, my friend. And you're there giving number five. Christ.
They've got to work harder for next year. Right. You might not like this one then. Number two. And only because... It was something that I've really wanted to do for a while, and it was great to... I think we got a lot out of it as a business, as a corporate...
It's 2 minutes to go.
I ran for these last two.
No, I'm joking. Take time.
In two, because it was that kind of... On YouTube right now, YouTube's grown as a platform massively.
I think I know we go with this one.
In the last 10 years, it's grown hugely. Yep. And it's been great to see creators and... grow and develop and, you know, really kind of work out their identity in the space. And I'm proud of YouTube creators. I feel like YouTube creators as a whole, certainly in the golf space, as a whole anyway, but certainly the golf space, I think we, as a whole, a lot of creators out there are doing really good jobs.
Mm.
Okay. However, I don't know why I needed the however, there was one collaboration I really wanted to try and achieve this year. And it was six young gentlemen from Texas, and by the name of Good Good. And we managed to have a full week of collaborative content at JCB.
Mm.
And it was bloody hard.
Yeah.
And it was horrible weather. And it was stressful. But it was also eye-opening and fascinating, more from a business standpoint, as well as kind of an open forum to spend time with like-minded YouTubers in that space, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
You know, obviously we were there with our team, they were there with their team. You know, we got to spend time completely together for pretty much 6 or 7 days talking about YouTube growth. They were asking us about how they can develop. We were asking them how do they do certain things. And it was just very kind of eye-opening. I felt like we've not had those conversations for a long time with any other creators.
No, it was really good. The content that came out of it was very good. It was great for them to kind of learn from us in a creator that's been for 10 years. It was great from us to learn from them in how a new bunch of creators are attacking things. And it's quite funny though, isn't it? Because when you go back to this list of the top 5 things of the year, obviously, naturally with this kind of list, it's down to how you perceive things. So like you said, in one sense, I can completely agree that this was almost more impactful in some ways, a film with Faldo and Watson. As crazy as that sounds to say, it was. If you look at the numbers generated, the reach, etc., it was. But then equally, if, like you said, if 10 years ago somebody said to you, oh, in 10 years you'll be doing YouTube, so you go, oh, right, wow, that's great, and you'll do a collaboration with a big channel, you'd go, oh, brilliant. You'd accept it, wouldn't you? But if someone said to you, you'll be playing the Old Course backwards to Tom Watson, you'd be like, no, well, that's ridiculous with your name up on the open board. So yeah, it's how you perceive things, but I do understand and I do agree that for the channel and for you this year and for what it meant to the golf YouTube creator space, that was a very pivotal and monumental moment in the channel.
Yeah, I just think it was again just getting like-minded individuals around, and you know, it was just a fun week. It was mad, it was crazy, it was lots going on, it was hard work. It was only the week after the Open. It was stressful. It was like I've got a real kick out of it. And again, when I look through my photo roll, which I did do this to put this list, I look through that section and go, that's really actually quite cool. Like the massive fan meetup we got to do.
Yeah.
You know, at Marriott. The fact we got to film however many videos it was for our channel, for their channel. It was a productive week. It was just good. It just definitely gave us a bit of a different perspective on how content's filmed. And they took a lot of inspiration from us of how they film their content. So, yeah, it was just a collaborative week. I thought it was
the
really
if weird how they offered me a job. They said, we'll triple X your salary. I said, no, I'm not going to America. Get lost.
They said, we'll come over to here. The UK.
Question then, follow-up question, slightly off topic, but it's also on topic. We get asked a lot in the podcast, you get asked on social media, wherever it might be, about collaborating with other golf creators, whether it be, you know, Pete, or whether it be up-and-coming creators who've not got many kind of followers yet, but they're doing something in the space. How do you see 2023 looking in terms of golf creator collaboration?
I am open to doing more. I think the idea has to be really good, and it kind of has to be beneficial for both parties.
Yeah.
I think we've said it even on this podcast, I was maybe going to try and do one this year. I would actually really, really like to do a YouTube golf day again. Or a YouTube week or something that gets all YouTubers into one place where it's kind of a bit of competition, a lot of filming, collaborations here, then everywhere. Just being able to grow the space as a whole. It was hard work when we did it in 2019, yeah. But it's something that I feel like we've got some level of blueprint over now. There's more creators out there.
That's where it gets difficult.
I think there'd have to be some sort of a cut-off point, or I don't know. I think we could work something out.
For me, though, it's more difficult because when we did it in 2019, thankfully, we had most of the big creators there. There's obviously always going to be an odd exception, but in reality, there wasn't many people you could say, why is X not there? Why is Y not there? The downside to it now would be there's that many big channels to actually get a date and a venue that would suit all those channels. Even if you got like 6 big ones or however many it would be, there'll always be somebody going, oh, why are they not there? And that's only somebody asking. But at the same time, you'd be thinking, yeah, I wish such a body was here as well. But we can definitely give it our best shot, and we can try and find a venue, a date, a time frame where we could have something incredible.
I think the audience would absolutely love
absolutely.
It. I really do.
So that was number 2.
In at number 1.
The gold prize, the gold medal.
The highlight.
Did they get a jacket to wear?
I think so.
What colour?
Well, it's going to have to be a very big jacket.
A red jacket.
It's going to have to be huge.
Big jacket.
So, this isn't a person.
Okay.
This isn't a singular video. Okay. This is a week in time this year that was just epic.
Can I guess?
No. It was the week that I think I was looking forward to the most this year, and possibly you, okay? It was the week that pretty much the golfing world was absolutely obsessed about this year. No surprise to everybody listening. It was the Open, the 150th,
yes,
at St. Andrews.
Yep.
And I can't put a, exact point of what that week was. There wasn't a pivotal moment. It was everything about that week. It was all the build-up about that week. It was almost a hangover after that week. It was like, it was as close of a golf festival that's ever been put on. Obviously, you had some of the biggest names. We had all the biggest names in golf. We got the opportunity of watching Tiger Woods walk over the Swilcombe Bridge on that Friday when he'd unfortunately missed the cut. You're walking around, you're seeing all these. We got to meet loads of fans, more than we would do at any range night. Got to do some work at the Open, working for MasterCard and the Open themselves. Got to interview some fantastic players and some personalities in the world of sport. Got to go out and drink. Stag do.
Like you did.
It was just everything about it. It took 100% of my energy and it drained me all the way down. My battery at the start of the week was 100%. And when I finished, I was redlining.
You had this massive, right, huge, huge, double in size bicep by the end of the week. And I said, what have you been doing, Rick, with that right bicep?
What's wrong with this?
Yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking. Then I realised it was that Guinness movement. It was just like this, constantly.
Guinness, shots, yeah.
No, but you're right, and obviously I can only echo that. It was the best week in golf, I think, ever for me, full stop. I think what it was, when you try and actually dissect as to why it was so good, and there's obviously many, many, many reasons, but we'd been going to the old course of St Andrews for the last year quite often for different reasons, for filming, for all sorts of different reasons. And every time you went, it was getting closer. It was getting a little bit busier. There was more infrastructure getting built around the place. And it was the first event for us, really, kind of post-COVID, where life, thankfully, felt a lot more normal.
Exactly, normal.
And it was not only was it the 150th, which is such a marquee number, it was at the old course, which if you've never been to St Andrews, it's hard to really imagine this, but it's literally a golf course in a town, really. So all the kind of pubs, normally a golf major in England, the Open in England or Scotland or wherever it might be, you've kind of got the venue, you've got the tented village, and you kind of leave sight and then you go off to your local towns, and there's some level of atmosphere at night, but it kind of gets diluted by the spread. With the old course, everything carries on within a 10-minute walk.
Spills out onto the streets.
You've got, obviously, fans were coming up to you of the channel. You've got people who work in an industry that you've not seen for a while. You've got people who also make content. It was just an unreal week.
Like,
and obviously,
seeing friends and, like, you had family come up
there.
Yeah,
it was insane.
And when I actually look at this list now, the top five, a lot of the things on that list pointed towards the Open.
Yeah.
Like, filming with Watson pointed towards the Open. Filming, doing the charity walking to St Andrews, that was pointing towards, so everything was actually pointing that way. Even film with Adam Scott, that was the week before the Open.
Yeah.
So it felt like St Andrews is kind of, I know we joke, it's like our second home this year. It really has been, and to have such a fantastic event there, and obviously it went right down to the wire with Rory and Cam Smith, but also Cameron Young. Like, you just look at it and go, it was a bar Tiger winning it. It was almost perfect.
But I think as well on that was with the Open, so with the old course, it does feel like an event, and certainly that's a venue where anyone playing could win to some degree. Now, this year, there's maybe a slight asterisk on that because it was the 150th. There was so much built up around in the narrative that you felt like a kind of relatively unknown player is probably going to struggle coming down that stretch with the lead, because it's just going to be almost too much to handle. The fact that it went down a bit of a battle between Cameron Smith and Rory, who are literally the best two players in the world, that was fitting. I mean, again, whoever wins deserves to win it. But if it was kind of a name that's not, you'd be, oh, but what an ending, yeah. What a tournament. And it's actually got me very, very, very excited for this next year's one.
Yeah, just thinking then, have I missed anything? I was even thinking some of the even add-ons to the Open, like, hitting shots off the old course hotel with Iona, like down to the 17th green and doing some challenges on the old course, and just having all those opportunities. They all kind of circulated around the Open a little bit this year.
Yeah.
That might not be every year. Obviously, it's at Royal Liverpool, which is much closer to us next year, and it might not feel as special. I'm sure it probably won't do. I'm sure it'll still be amazing. I'm sure there's moments that people might be listening to and going, bloody hell, you've missed that. But also, it's just been the fact of getting out and playing a lot more. Like, going out and playing break 75s, obviously you've played in loads of them this year as well. Like, being able to go and play, have fun, enjoy and make content, you know, all of that side of it. So as an overall year, it's been incredibly good. And I don't feel like I've missed much off that list.
No, and this, like you said, this, hopefully there'll be a couple more podcasts before the end of the year, so it's not an end of year wrap up as such. It's just something we wanted to talk about today. And I think, like we said then a bit earlier on, but it's huge thanks to everyone for watching the videos as well, isn't it? The fact that everybody watches the videos gives the channel and yourself such amazing opportunities and that continued support. And it's been nice this year that we've slightly tweaked the content. The Break 75s have become a bit longer. And that was a risk, because not everybody wants to watch a 45-minute video, an hour-long video, but people have enjoyed them. And it's exciting, and I think with everyone's support for next year, and hopefully the channel will grow and even more, it's exciting to see what other opportunities you get.
What's next? Yeah, I'll echo Guy's thoughts. Thanks so much for everybody for watching, listening, helping out all the channels grow. Without you guys, it wouldn't be possible. Thanks to all the guys who work tirelessly behind the scenes. Thanks to you for all your efforts
you
put into it.
Thanks to you.
I do a little bit. Thanks to you putting so much effort into it as well. And obviously the lads behind the scenes who do a great job editing. Matt's normally doing the podcast. He's off today, but Harry's jumped in. Tim, Ed, and Matt, who I've mentioned before. And then we've got a few new recruits with Sam and Neil. It's growing. It's getting bigger. It's getting more exciting. And here comes next year. Let's do another top five next year and see if I can top Trump this year's.
Just a tweet then, just following on from that next year segment. Just a last thing for the podcast. A little bit of a secret nugget for the end for those hardcore listening all the way here.
You're whispering.
I am whispering. It's a nugget. It's a secret nugget. Sorry. I'll sort it normally again now. You have been early testing some new equipment. We've also seen some more equipment, which you can't massively talk about yet, but new driver season, you can almost wait there. Yeah, you can smell it. New driver season is coming, thick and fast. There's almost
the new
too
grips,
many drivers.
The wrapping, the cardboard boxes are coming.
Some of them, in fact, let me think now. They've all got stories. They've all got some level of innovation. A lot of it's quite similar, and you know, you won't be too surprised. It's about a bit more forgiveness and a bit more speed. Blah blah blah. But I think there's some very exciting products to come out. You've hit some with a certain brand. That I only saw a handful of shots of, but there was some definite promise there.
Yeah, it might be new driver in the bag season.
Is it going to be, do you think, by the way?
I do fancy some new clubs. That's obviously the reason why I'm playing bad. And obviously with the review channel, I'll be testing more clubs as well. So the marquee drivers will be coming out on the main channel early January from brands such as Ding.
Yeah.
Flame of Shade.
Yeah.
Holloway.
These Wish knockoffs are getting worse, aren't they?
Holloway and this one's a tough one. Snowbra. Thanks for listening, guys. Stay tuned, lots more to come, and we shall see you next week. Hopefully. We might be a day late next week. We'll let you know.
Okay.
I don't know how we'll let you know, but we might let you know. It'll be Tuesday or Wednesday.
What we'll do is, because I'm not going to be in America when you go, I'll go knock on everyone's door and say, sorry, podcast late. Sorry, podcast late.
And also, I owe you 12 minutes of overtime.
Yep. £4 million, please, sir.
Get yourself off.
Whoa, okay. I'll do that enough anyway. Sorry. Wow. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1 Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.